Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. One, two, one, two, three, four.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm so excited and nervous and a little bit excited, yes, excited and scared. Isn't it nice to know a lot and a little bit not? That's right. I did the research for this week's Sawbones to give Sydney Into the Woods.
Oh, Into the Woods. Sorry.
That's all right. It wasn't a very good rendition.
No, I'm with you now. It just took me a minute to follow where you were.
Sydney was real busy saving the world this week, and she said, J-Man, in my hour of need, can you please come through for me and help me to and research an episode? Please, I'm begging. I'm on my hands and knees begging.
And Justin was like, but I don't know anything about medicine. There's only one thing that I love more than anything else, more than you, my wife.
That's not true. I didn't say that.
And that's brands.
Boy, do I love brands and love interacting with them on social media. I love the different products and everything. And I thought, you know what?
They have Arby's themed swim trunks for sale now if you like those.
Who are you telling?
The audience.
Oh, how do you know that?
Because you own them.
Okay, there we go. All right, good. I was hoping you weren't telling me because you've seen me in the Arby's trunks, and I can't imagine that's an image that's easily wiped away by time.
I only know about the Arby's trunks because you own them. I thought that I would tell everyone, and you would then, like, jump in and be like, I already have a pair, and they're the meatiest. I don't know. Ew.
Oh, they're real meaty.
Ew.
No, I wanted to celebrate brands. We're always talking about medicine and achievements and illness. And in my head, I'm like,
science.
But where are the brands?
Right.
So I wanted to do, it was originally going to be an episode where I celebrated a bunch of different brands because we've been watching this show called The Food That Built America. And it's this amazing, like, super gravitas mixed with, like, and this is how he made Lay's potato chips. You'll never believe the story behind Campbell's soup.
It always vacillates between a very frustrated young business person who's trying to make it.
Yeah.
And then the same business person celebrating by drinking a glass of whiskey in their office and then being frustrated again and then celebrating with more whiskey.
Yeah, there's reenactments. As time passes and they get wealthier and wealthier and their business becomes more and more successful, they don't ever change offices. They just, like, shoot it from,
or
like,
clothes. They don't change outfits.
Sometimes they'll get a big fake mustache. Like, I'm an older man now and I'm still making camel soup.
Out of this office in this suit with the same
outfit.
Glass of whiskey. That's always a big feature. I never get to drink whiskey in my office.
Yeah. Well, that has something to do with your...
my line of work, sure.
So I was going to do an all, was like a complete retrospective on brands. And then the first brand that I thought of, I just kept finding more stuff that I was like, that's pretty interesting. I do not have, this is not going to be like a typical Sawbones where we're having like an arc as much, like a historical arc. We'll be vaguely chronological.
Okay.
Fair. But but it's going to be more of a survey.
Mm-hmm.
Just an exploration.
Yes.
Sydney, today we're going to be talking about Vicks.
Oh, okay. I know Vicks.
Yeah, you just think you know Vicks.
The Vicks product I'm most familiar with is VapoRub.
Okay, good.
Because when I was little and I would have a cold, my mom would put Vicks VapoRub on a handkerchief, like a cloth handkerchief, and have me like hold it and breathe it in.
Like a like an old timey kidnapper with chloroform on their hand, right? That same
principle.
Well, but
she wouldn't like put it over my face. Like
breathe
she would just
in,
hand it to
in,
me.
Sweetie.
And I would like cuddle up on the couch with my box chicken noodle soup and my Archie comics and huff my Vicks VapoRub.
The store
handkerchief.
We're going to be talking about Vicks VapoRub a lot. The story of Vicks starts with Lunsford Richardson. He was born in 1854 on a farm in North Carolina. He went to a college called Davidson College, mm-hmm. graduated with honors. He married Mary Lynn Smith. They had kids, H. Smith Richardson, and a second son, Lunsford Richardson, Lenny Jr.
They also just a regular life so far.
Regular life. It also had three daughters, Lorinda, Mary Ann, and Janet L., according to
Now, do Janet. I have to memorize all these names? You've given me a lot of children's names.
There will be a quiz. Okay. No, we're getting his, like...
I'm only going
to
remember
this is not. You have to remember, this is not a tortured character. I don't even know that his life is particularly that interesting, but he is at the heart of Vicks.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about Lunsford Richardson. So he's working in Greensboro. He's working on different, like, home remedies and, mm-hmm. and what have you. One of the products that he comes up with is, well, VapoRub, not called that at this time. He sells a lot of different things. He's looking for an umbrella to put it under, right? Mm-hmm. And he stumbles upon Vicks. So his last name, Richardson, would not fit well on the label of the products, right? But Vicks would. Vicks is the last name of his brother-in-law, who was a family physician, who, according to some accounts, helped to give him some startup money, but also like was naming it maybe just like, if you know about Vicks, this physician, this is the Vicks Home Remedies. There was also a very popular product called Vicks Seeds at the time, and he was sort of like building on that idea, but mainly like his name wouldn't fit on the label. And I think it kind of continued to get to him that it wasn't, you know, under his name, but Vicks was short and it was punchy. And pretty soon there were 21 different Vicks family remedies, as they were called. So he comes up with, there's two different versions of the VapoRub story. Okay. There's the one that the Vicks company tells you, and then there's another one.
Okay.
So here's what the Vicks website will tell you about the creation of VapoRub. The Vicks says the product was created by Lunsford Richardson out of love and concern for his sick son. Young Smith Richardson had a severe case of croup, which is what, Sid? What's that? What's croup?
Croup is a viral illness that kids get. It's caused by a virus that's a parainfluenza. Next to
influenza adjacent.
This is a different virus. So it's a viral illness. It's usually self-limited, but sometimes you need some medications or some respiratory support to get through it. Kids still get it today.
So this is, they say that he had croup and Lunsford Richardson combined unique ingredients into a salve that when heated by the body would release soothing vapors. And then it says on the website, the boy soon recovered. It's like, yeah.
It probably would have recovered anyway.
Probably. Now, there is a different version of this from a McGill University professor named Joe Schwartz, who claims that the product can be traced to Jules Benguet, a French pharmacist who created
Benguet.
Exactly. But his last name, Benguet. If you're wondering why it's called Benguet, it's because his last name was Jules Benguet. That's the name of the guy that created it.
Is that how you That's not how you spell Benguet, though, the product, right?
Benguay. They wanted to make it, like, uber phonetic for the dumb Americans.
Well, that's because I think the average American speaking English would Benguë say Bingyu.
So,
which is wrong.
This is a menthol-based product, not unlike VapoRub, but it was sold as a treatment for arthritis and gout and neuralgia.
Neuralgia. Like nerve pain.
Okay.
Alga, it hurts.
According to Joe Schwartz's accounting of this, Lunsford saw, heard from, he sold Benguet in his pharmacy, And he heard from his customers that it cleared their sinuses, which is not his intended purpose. But because of the menthol in it, he heard from them like, oh, this worked to clear my sinuses. So he basically like it, a version of being gay, but using that as like the idea behind it. And, you know, who knows? Maybe it was a little column A, a little column B. You know, obviously the Vix website doesn't mention Ben Gay as like the spiritual inspiration for this product. But that is one accounting of it.
But they would never, you would never do that though with a lot of these products because they're being sold not on the strength of their, like the quality of the product necessarily as much as the recognition and connotation. So you wouldn't want to build on another competitor. You know,
he called this product Vicks Croup and Pneumonia Salve, but you know it today, obviously, as Vapor Rub, mainly marketed towards croupy babies. It had menthol, which was a kind of new drug that was coming from Japan, and it was incorporated into a balm with some other ingredients like camphor and things like that.
Sure.
And since it was only – it was popular in part because it was used externally, so there wasn't stomach upset, wasn't creating stomach problems for people, so they liked that. That was apparently one of the selling points of it, is that it wasn't bothering your tummy like a lot of these other treatments would.
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense if you consider that a lot of the remedies, so to speak, of the day, as we've talked about on the show, the way you would believe that they did anything is by making sure they did something. And so a lot of them would, you know, make you feel really sick or give you diarrhea or whatever. And then you knew, like, it's working.
So in 1898, he sold the drugstore and he started a wholesale drug company, at which he eventually sold that part to found Vicks Family Remedies Company. He wanted to just focus on that. Initially, they struggled to sell outside the Greensboro area. Eventually, the business changed hands to Lunsford's son, who decided to just concentrate on Vicks croup and pneumonia salve. But he renamed it. The son, who theoretically the product was initially meant for, renamed it to VapoRub and focused on that. That's what he decided to focus the business on.
How did he, like, when I think of, like, vaporizer...
the vapors that the rub creates. You got vapor, you got rub. It's Vapor Rub.
Okay.
So that, and the name was his idea. He came up with the name. The product was still sort of struggling to get like the sort of like major success story that he wanted it to be until in 1 year, its sales more than tripled to $2.9 million in sales. Can you guess what year that was, Sydney?
What year are we in?
If I told you what year we were
in. No, I mean, what time period are we in?
I mean,
like, when did he first, when was this?
He took over, this would have been like, he took, the last year touchdown we had was 1905. He took over in 1905, or sorry, shortly after that.
1918, 1919.
Exactly. Yeah. During the
influenza pandemic.
Exactly. It was a huge boon to that product, and it is really what set it on fire. It was ubiquitous.
Yeah.
And they built on the success of VapoRub.
It's a shame because it probably did nothing for influenza.
Well, yeah, but I mean, why let that get in the way of a good brand story, Sydney? You're not here to be a bummer. You feel the Justin roll. You just make fun jokes.
I'm just saying.
But not like, at the expense of brands.
A lot of people bought it, but it wouldn't have helped them.
So we to continue to follow the sort of Vicks story. They continue to introduce new products after this. In 31, they sold cough drops that were in the, if you've ever seen the classic Vicks logo where it's like the inverted triangle that's greenish,
yeah,
and with a little point down at the end. That's the shape of the cough drops that they brought out.
Triangular, huh?
Yeah, right. And you wouldn't think of this as the most aerodynamic. Throat-o-dynamic.
Well, it doesn't sound like it'd be pleasant in your mouth even.
Yeah.
Kind of all angles. No,
you wouldn't think. In 1952, cough syrup was added to the mix. In 1959, they came out with Sinex nasal spray. And in 1966, NyQuil hit the market. We're going to zoom back in on some of those products.
NyQuil.
So in 1930s, They merged with the William S. Merrill Chemical Company to form Richardson Merrill. And that was the name of the company for quite some time, Richardson Merrill. Obviously not using the Vicks thing, just focusing on, you know, he wanted to get his last name in there, at least. In the
right,
name.
Somewhere.
Vicks kind of became synonymous, because of these products, kind of became synonymous with colds, and flu stuff. And they even in the 1940s started marketing the Vicks plan to fight colds. Right.
Oh, no.
So this is a strategy that they cooked up for how they could fight colds. And I'll read this to you. This is from their vast experience, Vicks medical advisors and scientists developed a simple home guide called Vicks Plan that proved its real worth in tests made among 2,650 children under medical supervision. Reports show that it resulted in fewer colds, shorter colds, 50% less sickness from colds. Now this tested Vicks plan is ready for you to use in dealing with colds. Of course, Vicks plan may do less for you and your family, or it may do
more.
More.
No, wait. Okay.
At a time like this, it is certainly worth trying in your own home.
250,000 kids?
2,650 kids.
Oh, I thought you said 250,000.
That'd be a heck of a study.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. How did they get that? So 2,650 children.
Yep.
They tested this plan. Do you have the plan? What is
the
plan?
I got the plan. It's a three-step plan.
Do you have did you read the study? Did they publish the study?
No, this is a newspaper ad I'm reading. So no, they didn't have this. Just trust us, there's a study. It's implied.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering, like, where is the study?
Yeah, well, I don't have the study in front
of me.
Okay, so.
Maybe there wasn't one.
Here's the plan. One, observe a few simple health rules. Live normally. Avoid excesses. Live normally.
Hold on.
Don't be weird.
Live normally?
The first one is don't be weird. Don't do weird stuff because we can't account for that.
Live normally? What does that mean?
Live normally. Avoid excesses. Drink plenty of water. Keep elimination regular. That's huge if you want to avoid colds.
Keep elimination regular.
Keep elimination regular. As if I have a choice in that matter. Like, just like I'm deciding.
You know, there are nutritional things you can do to stay regular.
Get needed rest and sleep. Avoid crowds and people who have colds. Hey, shout out to
that one's a good one. That's actually a good one.
Avoid people who have colds, right?
Yeah.
When a cold threatens, at the first warning sign, first sniffle or sneeze, use Vicks Vatrinol as directed.
Vatrinol.
Yes, Vatrinol.
What was that?
I don't know.
Which of the products?
I'll tell you about Vicks Vatrinol, Sid. Just slip those headphones on.
Okay.
Jackson, Mississippi, in the beautiful residential district, hasn't suffered one bit from the California and Arizona snows most sections of the country have been getting. Even so, with all the changing temperatures, Mrs. Brown is troubled with a sniffly, sneezy head cold. But fortunately, she knows that today, head cold stuffiness can be relieved in seconds with Vicks Vatrinol nose drops. They work fast to bring soothing relief. Meanwhile, downtown at his office, Mr. Brown knows it's good business to keep a bottle of Vicks Vatrinol nose drops handy. A few drops soothe irritation, help to clear out congestion, bring relief in seconds. Try Vicks Vatrinol yourself.
So as near as I can tell, Sid, mainly like, looks like...
Nose drops?
Their nose drops looks like similar, from what I was able to find, similar ingredients to what was in Vapor Rub. Just sort of like intense, I believe like menthol and camphor, but you would take drops of it and just... blast it right in there, your nose holes there.
I'm trying to find the ingredients in it.
From what I could find here, menthol and camphor were the...
Those are the ingredients?
Yes.
Okay. Probably wouldn't kill you. I don't know. That's true for a lot of these when it comes to... I mean, I don't want to knock on Vicks too hard because when it comes to some of these like over-the-counter cold sinus whatever remedies, even today, a lot of them, it's like, well... they probably won't kill you.
We're going to get into more of that. And I love your judgment. If you could reserve it just a little bit till I finish my story about brands. So Vatrinol is step two when a cold threatens. But if you still get a cold, even after you jam a Vatrinol
menthol
up your nose.
Camphor up your nose.
Use Vicks Vapor Rub at bedtime. It's double action, starts to work at once and keeps on working for hours and invites restful sleep.
The first thing won't prevent a cold, and this will not cure a cold, but carry on.
Then at the bottom, it says full details of Vicks plan in your package of Vicks. If the miserable symptoms of a cold are not relieved promptly, or if more serious trouble seems to threaten, call your family doctor right away. A reasonable plan, I feel like.
You know what's hard? You know what's hard about that plan? It is reasonable to say if you have like your traditional and I want to be very cautious how I couch this because we are living in COVID times, so everything, none of this applies currently. Everything's uncharted. But generally, in the past, if somebody said, I woke up this morning and I had a runny nose and a little bit of a cough and some congestion, and it sounded like a cold, I wouldn't advise them to rush immediately to their doctor or call their doctor right away, right? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of times for mild cold-like symptoms, you don't need to rush anywhere.
Yeah, but
I don't know that if you use these over-the-counter things, I don't know that it's necessary. I think you could or you couldn't, and it wouldn't really matter that much. But I do think, like, the idea that you don't need to, for what seems like a mild cold, under pre-pandemic conditions, run to the doctor, I think that that is sound advice.
Yes, but the problem is if Vicks also has to do a little covering of their proverbial butts, legally speaking. Like, well, listen, yeah. Just go to your doctor. Okay, we don't know what we're talking about. I'm sorry, just kidding. Just buy the VapoRub, please.
Just buy the VapoRub and then go to your doctor and get the VapoRub there. Because back then, I bet you could have.
I'm going to tell you more fascinating facts about Vicks, but first, I need you to take a break with me and follow me to the billing department.
Let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth.
Video games.
Video games.
Video games. You like them?
Maybe you wish you had more time for them.
Maybe you want to know the best ones to play.
Maybe you want to know what happens to Mario when he dies.
In that case, you should check out Triple Click. It's a podcast about video games.
A podcast about video games? But I don't have time for that.
Sure you do. Once a week, kick back as three video game experts give you everything from critical takes on the hottest new releases,
to scoops, interviews, and explanations about how video games work,
to fascinating and sometimes weird stories about the games we love.
Triple Click is hosted by me, Kirk Hamilton.
Me, Jason Schreier.
And me, Maddie Myers.
You can find Triple Click wherever you get your podcasts and listen at MaximumFun.org.
Bye.
So, some more quick hit stuff about this company, which at this point where we are currently is Richardson Merrill. They made a push for a drug called Kevadon. Mm-hmm. That I believe you talked about you are going to be delving into this aspect of this story.
Yes.
In a later episode, so we're not going to dwell on
it
too much.
Do you want me to just name what that is?
It's thalidomide.
It's thalidomide. We've gotten lots of requests to do an episode on that. So yes.
We'll be revisiting that.
That's a whole episode worth of material.
Vicks Formula 44. That is, I feel like you never see that one as much anymore. It's still for sale.
I remember it. Like, I know, yeah.
I don't see it's dextromethorphan over the counter.
There you go.
And then there is, in, like we said, the mid-60s, we have NyQuil. Now, NyQuil was interesting and what sort of set it apart at the time when it was released. You know, NyQuil is the sniffly, sneezy, you know, so you can rest medicine.
Right.
They changed the combination of different things.
It's the sleepy time formula.
It's the sleepy time formula. In fact, why is it called NyQuil, you ask? No one knows. Hold on. I know what you're about to say.
Because
this is what it says on the Vicks website. The origin of NyQuil's name is shrouded in legend. Many believe that the name was...
Legend?
This is from the company's official website. Many believe the name was derived from nighttime tranquility because it delivers superior nighttime relief and provides the healing power of sleep.
Well, I assume that Nye referenced night because of day quill. Well, NyQuil. Yeah,
but day quill came decades later. So, NyQuil will help you get your Z's. I think what they're saying is we don't know why it's called NyQuil, but this seems like a good reason.
The quill part, to my thinking, and I mean, I don't know. This was just my guess. From a marketing perspective, quill, maybe it makes you think of tranquil or tranquility, or maybe it makes you just think of tranquilizer.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, I want something to knock me out because I'm so tired of coughing and that's how we think of NyQuil, right? Like, it's the thing that you take when you just need to be asleep and done with this cold for a while.
The thing about NyQuil that makes it like sort of a, why it helps it make a splash. We had cough syrup.
Yes.
We had cold pills, cold medication. NyQuil was the first one that said, like, let's do it all in this syrup.
Right.
And it's not just for coughs. It's for the entire constellation of symptoms. It also was the first to include a dosing cup. So you could, which was a big deal because it made dosing at home. Like, normally if you had a constellation of symptoms, you would have to go to your doctor and say, like, I have this and this and this, and here are the three different medicines that you would need for that, or try to mix them yourself, you know, figure it out at home. But this made, like, you didn't have to do that math. You didn't have to figure out all the different doses. It was all in this one dosing cup that was, that came with the bottle.
That, you know, that makes sense too. When I think about, like, how often as a kid when I got medicine, it was just measured in like a spoon. This is about a teaspoon.
Yeah.
And I mean, it is a teaspoon, but it's sort of a I mean, it's sort of, you know, it's not as exact certainly as a measuring cup.
Yeah.
And mLs. But the other thing about that, it's an alcohol.
What?
There is alcohol in there.
Yes. Yes. You got acetaminophen, dextromethorphan, doxylamine.
Doxylamine.
Doxylamine succinate.
Mm-hmm.
Succinate. Citric acid, alcohol, some thickeners, flavor. High fructose corn syrup,
mm-hmm.
some sourness.
Not a lot of alcohol, I don't think.
No, there used to. I'm not sure about this. I think there used to be a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, alcohol, extremely common ingredient in all medicines at this point.
Yeah, especially anything that was going to be a liquid was usually, you know, put in alcohol.
They say that the alcohol is to act as a solvent.
Yeah,
that is what they.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what they say.
Yeah,
and not just like. You know.
Yes, but I mean, that was always the connotation I had with NyQuil, was like, that's the stuff you drink when you need to sleep.
So following the Vicks story a little bit more, the business evolved into Richardson Vicks eventually, and that company, Richardson Vicks, was acquired by Procter & Gamble in 1985. So there's not a Vicks company anymore as we know it. It is more of a
line of products.
Yeah, it's more of a line of products. Now, does, in your opinion, and I have some facts, but they're very, Vicks Vapor Rub, does it work, is the question.
I have looked into this briefly before because we've talked around Vicks Vapor Rub. We've never done this sort of history about it, but we've talked around it. And my impression is that there are some studies that indicate that, like, menthol and camphor and those ingredients can make you feel like you have the sensation that you're less congested, can give you that sort of, like, symptomatic relief, but they're not necessarily altering the course of the illness in any way. So there's, like, some subjective improvement.
Okay. That makes sense.
That is my impression from what I've read.
And that's basically what there was a study that Penn State did that showed that it's more effective than placebo petroleum rub for helping cough and congestion and helping people sleep. But the study also showed that, unlike the petroleum rub placebo, Vicks Vapor Rub was associated with burning sensations to the skin, nose, and eyes. So, and 5% of the people who were in the study had a rash as a result of using the product. So,
really?
Yeah. And the study's first author was according to this Wikipedia article, was a paid consultant for Procter & Gamble.
Yeah, I think it's that when you inhale that scent, you feel like you're breathing better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is that you do get the sensation of improve. It feels like.
Now, I don't think that translates to you are breathing better. That would be what I would argue, but like certainly subjective. Now, I am surprised that many people got a rash. In that study, that seems like a really large percentage, considering that Vicks Vapor Rub is used, or at least it used to be. I don't know if it's as common now. I feel like that there was that moment where a lot of parents use these sorts of things for their kids before a lot more regulation came in. You know, like we used to. I mean, the days of Dimetapp and things like that. You know, when our parents would give us all these medicines that then the governing organizations came in and said, actually, don't. No, never mind. Don't give all this stuff to kids. It's not really helpful, and it probably won't harm them, but it might, and it doesn't help.
To have a more complete list, to circle back on VapoRub itself, because that is sort of the core of the line. We talked about ingredients: camphor, eucalyptus oil, menthol, and then they have inactive ingredients, including cedar leaf oil, nutmeg oil, petroleum, thymol, and turpentine oil. This is a product, VapoRub specifically, that has a, like what you just described, that is a story that a lot of people for generations have had. VapoRub is important, like, throughout the planet in different ways. It's in different, like, cultural communities. It takes on different, like, aspects. There was an article in the LA Times about, they refer to it as Vivaporo. Like, my pronunciation is probably poor, but, like, it's very important to their community, right? It's in Germany. It is that they are, these products are for sale. They are not called Vicks, because Vicks sounds a lot like thick. And if you're wondering what that translates to, it would be like if here we call these products Vucks.
Oh.
So in Germany, they're called Wick, and it just looks exactly the same. It all looks exactly the same. It's just Wicks. It's not Vicks. It's Wicks.
Okay.
And so that's what they're marketed under throughout Germany.
Did you find anywhere where they put it on their feet? I've heard that before. I've had people tell me that they put VapoRub feet to relieve, like, cold symptoms. And I found that very fascinating, because that was not the tradition that I would say locally I am more familiar with, is rub it on the chest or, like I did, put it on a handkerchief and inhale it. That's what I hear most frequently.
It is not. It would obviously not help with the helping the cold symptoms on the feet. Some people use it again, none of these treatments are tested, but in the same way that Bengay would work as a topical analgesic. Is that the right thing to say?
You got it.
And then apparently there was some indication that it might help with foot fungus. So that was why people were applying it to the feet as well.
Okay. I've heard that, you know, what's so interesting is all this stuff gets muddled. And I have had people tell me that during times of illness, they will get in bed, put Vicks VapoRub on their feet, and then put on some warm socks over it to hold it in.
Yeah.
And that's how they'll help. I've heard that. And I, you know, it's always like, well, that's probably not going to help, but it's not harmful, I suppose.
I have to tell you my favorite thing about Vicks. And I've told you some, I know, captivating things about this brand already. But this is my favorite thing. It's big in India.
Okay.
And it had a sort of slow uptake in India. It was brought over there in the mid-60s. And the salesman who brought it over would go to markets and, like, individually, person by person, pitch it to them and explain it to them how it worked. And it caught on there really big. In fact, one of the in a book called India Unbound, the author of that book describes going to someone's house where a woman was boiling Vicks in hot water and then breathing the vapors.
Yes.
And that is where the company got the idea to,
for,
like,
the vaporizer?
For the vaporizers and stuff like that.
We used to have one of those.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like that's how big it was there. But in the mid 80s, it started to struggle for two reasons. One is pharmacists, the system is more complicated there than it, but basically the pharmacists were boycotting Vicks because they wanted a bigger cut of the profits. Basically, they're, like, distributing and not creating them, right?
Okay.
And then also the government became, because it was worried about, it's politically complicated, but basically the government put in an order in the mid-60s that continued for decades that said that they were able to control the price of drugs because they were worried about Chinese interfering with drug prices. It's complicated. That part's complicated. But here's the important thing. They were struggling, right? The pharmacists were boycotting Vicks, and also the government was controlling the prices of drugs. To explain the pharmacist thing a little bit, retailers and chemists who sell drugs, I'm reading here, retailers and chemists who sell drugs manufactured by pharmacists dictate the availability of drugs in the market and consequently their price. So basically the people making the drugs were separate from the people selling the drugs and they wanted more money. Anyway, it's not the important thing. Here's the important thing. Vicks was, their profits were going way down, and between these two factors, they were not making money on Vicks Vapor Rub, which is an extremely popular product. Mm-hmm. They just couldn't make headway.
Okay.
So at that point, Vicks of India applied to the government because of a small exception in their rule about price controls to encourage small practitioners and people who weren't into allopathic treatments. Ayurvedic treatments were not part of the drug price control. So in India, Vicks filed for VapoRub to be considered
an Ayurvedic treatment.
They went through the different Ayurvedic texts and found parallels.
I'm sure. Yeah, I can see where that would be.
Ayurvedic treatments, which we've talked about before many times on the show. Basically very old ancient, like Indian treatments that have been passed down and are still practiced.
It's its own medical system.
It's a different medical system.
It's different than allopathic medicine that we practice.
But Vicks went to the government and said, oh, VapoRub, it's an Ayurvedic treatment. Look in the books.
did that work?
Ancient texts. Absolutely it worked. So now Vicks, to this day, Vicks VapoRub is registered as an Ayurvedic product in India because they were able to, like, look at it. There's no licenses. They don't have to pay as much taxes on it. The price control isn't a problem anymore. And according to this, Vicks and they could also sell it everywhere because it wasn't a drug anymore, so the pharmacists couldn't control the price anywhere. And the outlets carrying Vicks tripled, according to this article, to 750,000 different ones, and it was massive there. India was established as the leading producer of Vicks VapoRub among more than 130 countries, and it is now a hugely popular Ayurvedic treatment.
That's wild. There's something very cynical about that. I can't say I love, but...
I mean, that's brands, though, Sid.
That's brands. It's important. No, you're true.
Hey,
you're
listen,
right.
Sid. That's
not,
brands.
That's not medicine. That's not science. That's brands.
That's brands for you, folks. And that is my story with Vicks, a proud brand that has done some questionable things that we'll talk about at a later date.
All brands.
Yeah. Not all brands.
Not all brands. Yeah. I mean, that's always the problem with the intersection of capitalism and medicine. I mean, they're two different goals. One is to make people healthy and one is to make people money. And
what I think the takeaway for me about VapoRub is, and the thing that seems to like resonate with people, is when someone feels bad, it is a thing you can do that makes you feel like you're doing something. That's what it should say on the package. Feel like you're doing something.
There is so much of medicine that is that. It's hard, though, because I am more from the opinion that the art of good medicine is doing as much nothing as you can. Mm. Don't tamper too much. But can I just say, I understand that impulse, and I certainly associate the smell of Vicks VapoRub to this day with being cared for and soothed and loved and coddled, you know, because those were the times when it was part of my life. And so that's nice. And like, scent is a very powerful memory, like creator and stimulator and all that. So, I mean, I think that those sort of things, maybe not medicinally are important, but culturally, socially have some relevance and some importance that you can put on them. You always wish they could, I mean, maybe it's more appropriate to not classify it. It's like a drug, so to speak. The only thing I would say, though, is when you name the ingredients, you name several different oils, like eucalyptus and things. And I think we've mentioned this on the show before. Inhaling some oils can be triggering for things like asthma attacks. So specifically, I would be very careful. And this would be true not just for Vicks VapoRub, but anything that you're going to like vaporize and inhale, whether it be in a vaporizer machine or, like you said, like boiling something to inhale the vapors. That's always something to be careful with if you have a history of any sort of breathing problems, asthma or COPD, or even in rare cases, I think I've read about like epilepsy and stuff. So I would just be careful with like inhaling strong oils from any source.
There was this, that's funny you said that. There was actually an article from Science Daily from 2009 I found when I was researching this that said that it was a study I wait for us that suggested that Vicks VapoRub might create respiratory distress in infants and small children because it stimulated mucus production and airway inflammation, which can have effects on the breathing of an infant or a toddler.
Yeah, so there is we talked about this in essential oils. There is a reason why like just smelling something might not necessarily be dangerous, but actually taking the next step of burning it in some way, you know what I mean, not burning it, but vaporizing it, turning it into vapor, right? You know, that step, and then inhaling it in larger volumes, mm-hmm. can be dangerous to some people. And so I would approach that with great caution. I don't think if you like sniff some Vicks VapoRub, that's necessarily dangerous, well, but inhaling large quantities of it or vaporizing it,
what
certainly.
They suggested here in this study is, first of all, just like following the label instructions, because it says on the label you shouldn't use it for people under the age of 2. Mm-hmm. I think there's a specific baby rub for that purpose.
Yeah, probably.
I think they sell. And then also to not put it directly under the nose. It's not supposed to go like on the lip. It's supposed to go on the chest and you inhale the vapors from
it. So you shouldn't put it on a handkerchief and stick it up under your nose.
Probably you should not do that.
I would say, generally speaking, if you are concerned about any sort of breathing problems or in young children, just don't use this.
Yeah,
sure. I mean, it's just
if you want to abandon a brand that's been with you for generations, then go for it. Abandon the brand. Would it see if I care?
It's hard. It's like I said, it's so many of these things. And this is true, by the way. It can be frustrating if you're a parent, especially if like you were a parent in more recent like your kids are older, mm-hmm. and like now you're watching them have kids. This is a big shift. There are tons of medicines for kids, over-the-counter type stuff, that we used to give all the time, that we got, Justin, I'm sure, as children, that are probably not dangerous, but also don't help.
Yeah.
And will be dangerous for just a few. And so the shift has been, just don't do it. It's not going to help. It probably won't hurt, but it might hurt somebody. So why? What's the point? Maybe Vicks VapoRub goes in that category.
Thank you so much for listening to our program. We very much appreciate it. Thanks to taxpayers for use of their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. Thanks to you for listening and being patient with me. I know this is probably different from our normal thing. It's pretty hard to do Sydney's job, as I found out.
I thought you did a great job.
Thanks, hon. I appreciate
it. I was very proud of you.
That's going to do it for us. Be sure to join us again next time. Until then, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.